Ellie has invented what Ellie describes is not. It is happening across Northwest right now. This is their story. In one of England's poorest constituencies on official measures, NHS training places sit empty while hospital wards struggle to recruit the nurses they need. The people exist, the training capacity exists, the desperate need exists. What blocks them from connecting is a Treasury that treats workforce investment like a household expense it cannot afford. Here is how that choice shaped one life.
I grew up in Newton Le Willows watching my nan fight her last battle with cancer at Wiston Hospital. The nurses there were everything I wanted to become. Skilled, compassionate, completely present when someone needed them most. My mum was a teaching assistant, my dad fixed cars, and they both said if I wanted to be a nurse, I should go for it properly. Get my A-levels, work as a healthcare assistant first, learn what the job really looked like before committing to 3 years of training. I took that advice seriously. After finishing at Rainford High in 2020, I got a job as a healthcare assistant at St Helens Hospital. For 2 years, I worked on the wards, learning how to move patients safely, taking observations, supporting qualified nurses with whatever they needed. I loved every shift, even the difficult ones, especially the difficult ones, because that was when you could see how much your presence mattered to someone who was frightened or in pain. By 2022, I was ready. My application to Edge Hill University's nursing program was strong. Excellent A-level results, 2 years of relevant experience, glowing references from the ward sisters who had supervised me. I was confident I would get a place. The interview went brilliantly. 3 weeks later, I got the rejection. All funded places are full, the letter said. Unfortunately, we cannot offer you a place on this year's program due to limitations in our training commission allocation. I called Edge Hill's admissions team. They were sympathetic but firm. We would love to take you, the admissions coordinator told me. Your application was exactly what we're looking for. But Health Education England has capped our numbers. There's simply no funding for additional places. I did not understand what that meant. I called Health Education England's Northwest office and spoke to someone in workforce planning. We've had to reduce training commissions this year, she explained patiently. Budgetary constraints from Treasury spending limits mean we cannot commission as many places as we would like. We have to prioritise within the resources available. It sounded reasonable. Disappointing, but reasonable. Everyone has to live within their means. I tried again in 2023. Same application, updated with another year's experience, same outcome, same explanation. We cannot afford to run that programme at the level we would like, the Health Education England coordinator told me when I called again. The budget has been cut, and we have to make difficult choices. While I waited for my second rejection, I started volunteering at St Helens Hospital in my spare time. I wanted to stay connected to the work I hoped to do professionally someday. That was where I met Liam, who was volunteering on a different ward. He had faced the same barrier in Salford, qualified, experienced, rejected for lack of funded training places. We started comparing notes. Liam had discovered something odd. The University of Salford had told him they had the empty places on their nursing programme. Not just one or two, but dozens. Students who had been offered places but could not get the financial support to take them up. The university wanted to fill those places but could not offer the funding packages that would make it possible. I went back to Edge Hill and asked directly, "Do you have empty training places?" The admissions coordinator looked uncomfortable. "We have capacity for 40 additional nursing students," she admitted. The lecture halls exist, the clinical placement slots are available, the tutors are employed, but we only receive funding to take a certain number. Health Education England sets our training commission allocation based on their budget from NHS England. Meanwhile, I was volunteering on wards where the nursing shortages were visible every shift. St Helens and Knowsley Teaching Hospitals, NHS Trust was advertising for 60 nursing vacancies. The staff who were there were working overtime constantly, covering extra shifts, doing the work that should have been shared among more people. I sat in the hospital car park after a volunteer shift, looking at my phone. Edge Hill University, 40 empty nursing training places. St Helens Hospital, 60 nursing vacancies. Health Education England, there is no money to train more nurses. Something did not add up. I called the admissions coordinator at Edge Hill again. If you have the capacity to train 40 more nurses, I asked, and we have 60 nursing vacancies at the local hospital, what exactly is it that there's no money for? There was a long pause. You're right, she said finally. The training capacity exists. The people who want to fill it exist. The hospitals that need those nurses exist. Health Education England's budget has been capped, as if the government could run out of money to train the nurses we desperately need. That was when I started to understand. The government that issues the pound was telling us it could not find enough pounds to connect people like me to the training that would prepare us for the work that desperately needed doing. The Treasury, which controls the budget that NHS England receives, which determines what Health Education England can spend on training commissions, had decided that workforce investment was a cost to be minimised rather than the means by which trained professionals reach the places that need them. The people existed. I existed. Liam existed. Hundreds of us, ready to train, ready to work, ready to fill those empty shifts. The training places existed. Edge Hill had confirmed it. The need existed. Every ward I volunteered on confirmed it daily. What did not exist was the willingness to spend the money that would connect these three things. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I am still here, still watching, still volunteering. I understand now that what happened to me was not bad luck or a temporary shortage. It was the predictable result of a system that treats public investment like a household expense that must be rationed, even when the resources to do the work are sitting idle. My story is not unique to St Helens South and Whiston. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster insists the cupboard is bare.
What Ellie experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique involves citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident, as though repeating it makes it true. For decades, tobacco companies cited scientists who questioned the link between smoking and cancer, lending false credibility to a harmful industry position. The scientists existed, they had credentials, but they represented a tiny minority view amplified to create doubt about overwhelming evidence. When Health Education England told Ellie there was no money for nursing training, they were applying the same technique. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation, they implied, without naming which economists or acknowledging the profession is deeply divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. The Treasury cited unnamed expert opinion to justify treating government spending like household spending when the UK government issues its own currency and faces fundamentally different constraints. The proof was sitting in front of Ellie. 40 empty training places, 60 nursing vacancies, qualified people ready to train. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Appealing to unnamed authority, economists say, disguise that choice as economic inevitability. St Helens South and Whiston ranks 87 out of 543 English constituencies on the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 2. The constituency has 737 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Grants totalling £12.3 million were recorded in 360, giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional, every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.